What's going on, Freeform Renegades? You're tuned into the Freeform Network. Thanks for joining us for another fun episode of Freeform Radio. I'm your host, Noel, and my co-host here, Daniel.
Yes, sir. Sitting back here, chilling.
And Andy.
It's high octane Andy and he's ready to rack your fucking ears off, man. I can't do that chilling shit no more, man.
Damn. All right. Well, hey, it's another... it's a rainy day here in Chicago.
I figured with all the weed that they got now in the state of Illinois, man, that everybody be chilling. But damn, it doesn't sound like Andy's smoking any of that ganja.
It'll be legal come next year, man.
Right.
So Illinois might be broke, but they let you fuck without condoms. They'll take care of your baby. You could smoke weed to chill, or if you're really strung out, you can win some money by go gambling just about anywhere now.
Right.
Well, this took a weird turn, but hey, it's another beautiful day here in Chicago. So wherever you listeners are, we hope you're sitting cool, feeling good. We're going to get this episode started. We're going to start it off with Daniel and what you did over this weekend. It seems that you're a little bit more relaxed today, so you might have had a good weekend.
Right. Yeah, no, man, it was a pretty chill week. Didn't really have anything big to do. Not really big gaming things to do either. Because I do game. So finally popped in a game that I've had for a while on the shelf, Madden 19.
What? Madden, baseball season, man.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I've had it on the shelf for a while. I picked it up a couple months ago, but never really popped it in to play it. I've been playing other things, like I've mentioned on the podcast, Red Dead, and jumped onto a few other big games. But yeah, popped in Madden. Played it for a minute, and man, it got me that football itch. It got me that I can't wait until football season starts so that I can really enjoy this really optimistic Chicago Bears team that everybody keeps talking about. Everybody keeps talking that they're going to be like contenders. You know, I'm hoping they just make it to the playoffs, make a decent run, build a little bit upon what they did last year. And playing Madden 19 has really given me that optimism. Seeing Trubisky throw those bombs, you know, because I got it in arcade mode, so I'm just like gunslinging it and just running it down people's throats.
Real quick, for international listeners, we're talking about American football, not that FIFA bullshit.
The real football?
Yeah, the real football, not FIFA 2019. We're talking about Madden. And so, yeah, interesting, Danny. You're playing Madden, and we're like balls deep in baseball season. So do you play the baseball game during football season?
Nah, the last baseball game that I bought was 2014. So it's the been big? A while. No, it was the show. MLB The Show. The one that Sony publishes. I think it's San Diego, the studio San Diego. But yeah, I haven't bought a new baseball game in quite a while. You know, the White Sox have been struggling quite a bit these last couple of years, so there hasn't been really anything enthusiastic to really get me to go get the latest, you know, The Show, because that's really the only baseball game that's out there right now, to play some White Sox baseball. But this year, man, they've been playing half decent, man, that, you know, it might get me an inch to, once that baseball game hits the bargain bins, I might have to go pick it up, play some White Sox baseball. But yeah, no, just playing Madden right now.
Yeah, let's bring it back to Madden. So you said you're playing arcade mode, but you said you wanted to run it down the throat. So I'm assuming, are you playing like fucking 3 yard, you know, you keep running it 3 out of the 4 plays, or you throw on the first play, run the second two, or you just fucking airing it out now that you got a somewhat decent quarterback?
I kind of mix it up a little bit because I don't tend to pick my own plays most of the time. Most of the time I do whatever the coach suggests. And man, Nagy likes to throw it. But on occasion I go like, man, you know, let's do a few runs in a row. Let's do a run or two in this little, you know, whatever we're going through, this procession of plays. And Nagy just wants to keep gunslinging him, man. So I have to do an audible, or I have to, you know, unselect the suggested and pick a running game, running play. But I like running it, you know, even before Madden 19, all the previous Maddens that I've played, I like building up a really good run game to where I'm wearing out that defense, and then come second half, it really opens up because, you know, I've worn out that line. I've been hitting them all day, you know, throwing a little dink and dunks with Cutler or whatever, you know, the previous Madden game that I had, you know, be doing little dinks, you know, open it up a little bit, but not too much. But just keep running it, running it. And Madden 19, I've been playing it somewhat the same, but it's definitely a lot more pass happy. So I have been airing it out just because I do have a few weapons in the Chicago Bears team of last year.
Interesting. Now, Nagy, I mean, have you tried playing? So when you do the arcade, what is it? It's just like, I haven't played Madden since like fucking PS2 days. So I don't know. Are you doing like the arcade? Is it a season thing or just individual games as you go, or what's going on?
I myself like to play a franchise season. I played a couple of exhibition games with Junior because he saw me playing it. And since last year, he kind of got that football itch as well. And he started watching more games with me. So as soon as he saw it, he's just like, oh, wow, you know, you got a football game. And I'm like, yeah, come on over and play. And so we played a couple games and he really liked it, especially the games where we played on the same team. So I would be Trubisky and then he was the running back. And man, he was just running it up and down the field, especially because, you know, I would air it out a little bit and then I'll do the play action play, pass action play. And man, it's just, it was just awesome. And he was getting so excited running down. And, you know, I don't know if it's because we have it in arcade, but man, he was shedding tackles left and right, man. He was giving people the stiff arm, kind of like that safety that the Bears used to have. What's that video guy, Andy?
Fensick or Mark Brown?
No, I remember there was a white guy that was on the Bears. He was like a cornerback or a safety.
Oh, Hildem?
He kept getting stiff arm.
Yeah. Oh, Amani or... yeah, with Lovey's guy, Conti.
Right, Conti, that guy.
And they just throw him away. They did that to him in multiple teams.
Right, Conti. Right. Yeah, he keeps doing that, man. He keeps juking all these players, so he's really enjoying it. So it's making it fun, definitely, to play Madden with him and enjoying that with him for sure, man.
Interesting, man. How's the defense? Is it ranked high or no?
Yeah, the Bears overall, they are ranked higher than even Green Bay in the game. You know how it gives you overall stats. They are ranked higher than Green Bay. So they are leading the division as far as points go. And it shows it, man. The defense is tight. You know, I usually play Hicks because I want to leave Mac alone to be able to get his sacks. So usually I play Hicks and you know, go support Mac and try to get some sacks and put some pressure on the quarterback.
Man, Khalil Mack, that's right. How many sacks you think he could get in Madden?
So far, I've only played two games in the franchise, and he only has one sack. So it's a pretty slow start so far, but it's early in the season, and it's exciting, man. It really got me thinking a lot about football, but at the same time, I got my ear to baseball because this year has been one of the upswings for the Sox. So it's definitely exciting to be into sports right now at the moment. And kind of speaking of sports, man, the other thing I was going to kind of mention was I was watching on YouTube the videos of Aaron Rodgers and that beer drinking, chugging contest, and where he couldn't chug the beer and he only chugged like half of it and then he had to stop. Right. I don't know if you guys saw that video.
Yeah, I saw it.
No, I don't think I've seen it. What happened, though, exactly?
Well, they were at Milwaukee, right. They're a Milwaukee game, a basketball, and the camera goes around, and it's like the chug camera. So, you know, if the camera goes on you, you have to chug the beer. So it went on to another player that I didn't really recognize or some other, like...
defensive guy, yeah.
Right, some other jacked-up guy, and he chugs the beer. Then the camera moves over to Aaron Rodgers because he was at the game as well. And he starts chugging down the beer and he gets like halfway through and then he puts up his finger because, yeah, you know, kind of like, give me a second. And he finally just gave up and he just shook his head no. And then he just kind of put his beer down. And it just made the social rounds, you know, people were just making fun of him that he couldn't really do the challenge and that he didn't finish chugging down the beer.
Man, he got punked. That sucks. Dude,
yeah, if you go on the Twitterverse and all that, you see like all these other like baseball players, football players, basketball, they're all like fucking chugging beers. And the best part is when the Bears went to a Sox game, right. Trubisky and Kyle Long, they did a chug thing and they fucking did it like champ. Well, I was shocked how fast Long did it. I don't know if you saw it.
Right. His was like 2 seconds, man.
Yeah, dude. It's like you could tell that guy was in a fucking frat because he fucking chugged it down and Trubisky did pretty good. So real quick, they said Trubisky's done it. The quarterback from Detroit did it. There's a video on him. Stafford. Stafford. They're saying the guy from Minnesota needs to do his next, but they're saying that he's kind of a bitch too, that he can't do it. They're like, don't expect him to be chugging any type of beer anytime soon.
Yeah, who did they sign? They signed that guy to like Cousins. A big ass contract. Yeah, Cousins. He doesn't look like the beer drinker. Maybe he'll do a wine chug or something.
Yeah, that's why they were kind of they were shitting on him on some of the blogs that I follow. They're like, he ain't gonna do it anytime soon.
You know, I don't really like Aaron Rodgers too much, and I kind of, you know, it kind of made me a little more pissed that he had a rebuttal to this. I don't know if you heard that, Andy.
Yeah, I did.
But he came out after the Trubisky thing was hitting the rounds, and people were like, man, Trubisky chugged a beer. Aren't you embarrassed? And blah, blah, blah. And Aaron Rodgers said something to the fact of, well, at least those quarterbacks found something that they're better at me. Or better than me at, you know, kind of alluding that he's better at quarterbacking, at being a quarterback than these other guys that were able to chug beers.
Well, that comes back to the question on Rodgers is, you know, a little sports talk, is he the greatest? Because quarterback, a lot of people say he is, a lot of people say he isn't, because he only has one Super Bowl ring and he has great numbers, but he hasn't really done shit in like the last 8 years, and they give him a lot of money, and you know, there's always been reports he's been kind of a dick.
Yeah, I've kind of heard that too, that he's kind of difficult to play with. He's not so much of a team player. He's more of for himself, and he wants his numbers, or maybe he's just really, you know, like what do they call it, passionate about football.
He's just a dick.
He does give me kind of that vibe. That, you know, he's just kind of an asshole, but you can't deny him. He's a good quarterback, or some would say a great quarterback. So hopefully Trubisky will be able to show him up and show him that it's not just chugging beers that he's good at.
Hopefully, man, we'll see. Like I said, all reports, there's a lot of rumors about him. But one of the things, a lot of multiple teammates have come out and said that he's not a great teammate.
Right, right. Well, hopefully the next time he's out on the field, he'll take the opportunity and go out there and show him up. But speaking of opportunities, Noel, fill me in on this UFC Chicago. You mentioned missed opportunity. What's the breakdown on that?
Yeah, dude. So UFC came to Chicago last weekend. Well, it would have been 3 weeks ago by the time this uploads, but came in like right fresh in the start of June. It's an amazing event, dude. Probably one of the greatest pay-per-views I've ever seen.
Damn.
Yeah, and I really regret not having gone in person, but I did get to see it on TV, and it was, you know, it was good. It was not a huge card in terms of like the amount of fights, but it was really stacked up in the main card up in the top. And you had 2 title fights, and you had pretty much like a number one contender for the third fight, and you had a couple brawl fights here and there. For the most part, though, there were a lot of finishes, especially the last 3. So, you know, Tony Ferguson, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of him, El Cucuy?
Tony Ferguson? Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah, so he ended up fighting Cowboy Cerrone, who's a veteran in the sport.
Yeah, he's old.
He's never been able to get a title, but he's always been that guy, you know, that's like always in the mix, you know what I'm saying? So he's like the Undertaker for WWE. Like he's always in the mix, but he's not always champion and stuff like that. So,
right.
Anyway, when Tony was fighting Cowboy, you know, this isn't like a matchup of a lifetime, because these guys are freaking, they go all out, you know, like when you know when they're fighting, it's going to be a fight. It's not something that's going to be boring. And it sure as fuck wasn't boring, man. It was one of the better fights that I've seen. Cowboy Cerrone just came off of a KO win. So it was pretty interesting to see him come out against Tony. But unfortunately, he didn't have his, it wasn't his number that night. Tony, like, it looked like he was playing. Looks like he was having fun. He barely got dinged up. And Cowboy looked like a fucking, like a punching bag made out of meat, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and Cowboy Ben, there's times that he really shines and shows a really good fight and shows that he's really a contender. And then there's times that he kind of, you know, stinks it up. I wonder if it's the fighting styles that he fights, or maybe he puts more into some fights than others.
So in some fights, it depends on who he's fighting. He has this intensity about him where he's just going to go out and he's going to do his thing. And there's some fights where he overthinks it, you know, depending on who he's fighting, he starts thinking about how good they are and whatever. One thing that kind of led him to go back to like the old savage ways, like the old days where he was just kicking ass in WEC, he had a near death experience, and he actually went on Joe Rogan's podcast and talked about it. Wow. If you guys ever get a chance to listen to Joe's episode, or at least a clip of it, you know, it's a pretty crazy story about deep sea diving and exploring a cave underwater and trying to rescue somebody. And in the process, almost becoming in danger of losing your life yourself. And
yeah, that's just dangerous, man. The deep sea diving, and when you start getting into those caves, I've seen some documentaries and stuff like that.
Yeah, supposedly, like if somebody's in danger and you're deep sea diving, like you're supposed to like not go back to help, especially. Mm-hmm. Because like they kick up dust and everything, and that's pretty much what happened. The guy kicked up dust and like clouded up the whole shit. Cowboy's trying to save his life, and now he's lost. Now he's like, where the fuck am I? And he's losing oxygen and time's running out. Anyway, it is, you guys should check out the video. I don't want to talk about that too much. All I want to say is that I think that experience really like lit up his light again. And after that, he has a family now. He has a kid. He has a baby, barely under a year, I think. And so he's everything's about that. And so when he came out against Tony, I thought that's what we're going to see again. But then I'm reminded that Tony also has a family. And this guy is another savage from fucking like Mexican blood, you know. So you can't count him out. And it was an insane battle. Good fight. Then you have the next two fights. They both ended in KO victories. And it was... Man, so freaking exciting. Such a pleasure to watch. They were for titles. You know, the first one was a women's fight. It was for the flyweight championship. Yeah, it's the 125 pound belt. And Valentina Shevchenko, she KO'd this girl named Jessica Ai with a leg kick to the dome. And it was insane to see her just like see a female take a kick to the dome and just lights out for multiple minutes, dude. Lights out.
Wow. So, you know, some of these women, they sometimes they get the belt, they get their bell rung.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hey, like they're human just like guys, man. Most people assume that if somebody's getting knocked out, it's going to be a guy, but in MMA. And this day and age, it's an equal opportunity, you know. So the females, they're getting strong and they're getting talented and their technique is getting better. And some of these people, man, if you throw the right punch, no matter what, that hits the jaw, you're going down.
Man, I was going to say this joke, but Danny would have scalded me later. So I'm going to have to behave right now.
But then that leads me to the main event, which was Henry Cejudo, and he fought Marlon Moraes. It was a Mexican-American versus a Brazilian. And this was for the 135-pound belt, the bantamweight belt. Now, a little backstory to this. Henry Cejudo fought TJ Dillashaw, and he fought him at 125 pounds for Henry's belt. Henry is the champion currently at 125, and he defended his belt against TJ, who dropped down from 135 to 125. So TJ lost that fight. He wasn't able to become champ. That's like the new term in the UFC now, champ. And he still kept his 135 belt, right? He went back up, and that's it. But then, unfortunately, TJ Dillashaw was caught with drugs in the system, something called EPO, which gives you benefits that others, you know, normally wouldn't have unless you took something like that. So,
unfortunately, hey, what is it? What is it? EPO? What is it? What does it enhance?
So I believe it enhances like your ability to recover from like the dehydration process. Like, I think it helps with your fluids and stuff like that. So you're not, so like you can like lose weight and like drop down weight quicker, but not like super drain yourself, if you know what I mean.
Just the it speeds up your recovery or
pretty much. Yeah. It's okay. It's not like a steroid and this is not like that, but it helps you with your recovery like greatly. Like if you take it, you're going to have a benefit. And so he got caught with that. And they suspended him, I think, for a year or over a year. But minimum, I'm pretty sure he suspended a year. So he had to vacate the belt. He had to leave it. And so now it's up for grabs. And Henry was going to fight TJ at 135 so that he gets a shot at his belt, right? Because he gave him a shot at his own. So now that TJ is gone, that's why he's fighting Marlon Moraes. And Marlon Moraes, he has his own little backstory. He's just been knocking everybody the fuck out. Every fight he has, just destroying people left and right. This guy looks like One Punch Man. He's bald and he's he's a short, bald, white-looking guy, but he's Brazilian. And it was a good fight, man. Honestly, in the first round, I thought Marlon was gonna beat Cejudo, and I was shocked and happy that Henry came back. It was one of the greatest comebacks I've ever freaking seen, dude. It's insane. And Henry, I don't know if you guys know this, he's a world gold medalist. He was in the Olympics, and so for wrestling. So now he's got the gold medal for the Olympics. He's got the 125-pound belt, and he beat Marlon Moraes by KO, or TKO, I guess you could say. And he destroyed him. It was in the third round, I believe, that happened. And now he has the second belt, 135 pounds. And he's already calling people out to go to 145. He wants the third belt. So,
insane. I thought which is the weight class that they removed? I thought it was the bantamweight, or is the one below it?
So, Henry is the champion of 125. That's where he came from. And Demetrius Johnson, who he beat for that belt, left to go to one championship because he was not really a draw. He's been champion for years and nobody ever cared. And so Dana White wanted to destroy that class and just, you know, be done with it because it wasn't really making him any money to have all those people on the roster if they're not bringing in the numbers. You know what I mean?
Right.
Business wise, he wanted to get rid of it. Henry fought TJ Dillashaw, defended his belt. And that fight was supposed to decide, hey, if TJ wins, well, he's the champion at 135, so be done with the 125, right? But Henry won. He retained his belt, so there still is a 125 right now.
Damn. Yeah, I thought, like I said, the TJ Dillashaw, I heard of that name a lot. So the other one is the new one. Yeah, anything under 135, I thought they got rid of, so.
It's still there, but... You know, I honestly, I don't know how long it's going to last. Dana White doesn't really seem like he cares about that division. And Henry Cejudo doesn't seem like he's going to be going back down at 125 anytime soon. He's the champion right now. So everything's showing me that, yeah, it might not be around for long.
Yeah, man. I didn't see anything. I thought for sure you were going. I knew they were announcing it. So I don't know. It sucks that you couldn't go.
Yeah, man. You know, I just had to watch it on pay-per-view, but I enjoyed it for sure. But hey, I heard you were enjoying some pay-per-views or something like that. Fill me in. What are you watching right now?
So, yeah, you know, we go from one pay-per-view to another. You're a UFC resident expert. I guess I'm the wrestling expert, unless Danny wants to challenge that. I don't know.
Nah.
Some backyard wrestling?
So yeah, I watched Double or Nothing from the new company, the startup, I want to say AEW. All Elite Wrestling. This is officially the first pay-per-view, but the Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks, this is going to be their second attempt or their second pay-per-view. And it was very well hyped. I don't know how much if you saw any of it, you know?
No, Cody Rhodes, is that Goldust's son?
That's his brother, and Dusty Rhodes was their father.
Right, okay. Nice, nice. No, I didn't get to see this. To be honest, I'm not watching wrestling that much as I used to, but fill me in, man. What happened?
It's the alternative to WWE. Did you see any of it at all, Danny? Or
I watched
about the Rhodes?
No, I watched a little bit here and there, the Jericho match, and you know, a little bit of the Cody versus Dustin.
Or Goldust.
But I didn't watch the whole thing.
Yeah, so that was the three matches I wanted to see was the Battle Royal, which was kind of controversial. Two was the Cody Rhodes-Dustin Rhodes match and the Jericho-Omega match. So there was already controversy leading up because one of the entrants in the Battle Royal was Adam Page. He was supposed to fight Neville or Pac. As they call him now, and Pac backed out last minute, so they put him in the Battle Royal. He won, but one of the entrants that was in the match was this wrestler called Sonny Kiss. Now, I don't know, he acts gay and he does gay things. He has this move where he grabs a guy by his legs and puts their face in his ass. That's fucking weird. But there was a lot of hardcore wrestling people kind of especially Jim Cornette kind of trashing it, and so there was a big controversy around that because, you know, they're like, is this wrestling? I mean, it's fucking wrestling. There's a lot of crazy shit going on there. It might not be your cup of tea, but that's what they're doing. So there was the first one. Paige won that one, and had a lot of old school, like they had a guy with no legs wrestling. I don't know if you ever seen that. That was kind of weird. I never seen that before.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Seen a one-legged wrestler. I've never seen a wrestler with no legs.
Yeah, and no, I've never seen anything, you know, any kind of handicap like that, like no arm, no legs.
So he has this finisher where he climbs up the rope, then, and he flips off using his hands. He pushes off the ropes, and he does, like, this flip. It's actually kind of cool, but I don't know. To me, the Battle Royal was all right. The big one was that I really wanted to see. That's why I made an effort to watch it. Was the Cody Rhodes versus Dustin or Goldust. And that match, it was all the hype. They wanted to have this type of match in WWE, but they kind of shit on the idea. So they went there, and it was fucking the big controversy there is, when Cody Rhodes came out, there was like this type of throne, in the style of Triple H's logo. And he kind of came out in that throne in one of the WrestleManias. I think it was the one in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's almost like every other WrestleMania, he's got some huge entrance. Triple H does.
So, yeah, that was his big thing. So he walks out. And his wife hands him a sledgehammer, and he starts doing like those mannerisms that Triple H does. And I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. And then he walked up to the throne and he fucking smashed it. And like the people went crazy.
Right. A lot of people are saying that the symbolism is kind of like he's saying F you WWE by breaking Triple H's throne.
Yeah, because they all really know who's going to run WWE after Vince McMahon dies in his chair, you know, because he ain't gonna hand that off to no one. So yeah, that was the big thing. But the match alone, I mean, I thought it was great. There was a lot of blood. I haven't seen that much blood in wrestling since like the 80s. I mean, it was a lot. And then Dustin Rhodes was bleeding. He's really old. He could tell, but he still put on a great performance. He did a couple of things, and Cody Rhodes beat him. And at the end, I guess they're going to fight at the next pay-per-view. They're going to be teams. He's like, I don't need a friend. I don't need this. I need my brother. Then they hug and shit. It was very, people were crying and shit on TV. It was, I mean, it was a cool moment. I'm not going to shit on it. I thought it was pretty cool.
Bunch of super nerds.
Man, then why you got to be so rough, man? Let the emotions in, man. It's okay.
It's like, it's still real to me, damn it.
That's what I was thinking, like, damn, man, that guy right there is probably crying and shit. But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a really great match. It's probably the best. I saw the whole pay-per-view. That's probably the one that I think it was the best one.
That's what you've been waiting for all your life?
Not all my life, but the last month, yeah.
Okay.
And then there was another good match, the Young Bucks versus Pentagon and Phoenix. That one was really good. There's a lot of high spots, but yeah, they're from Mexico. Some of their brother, the actual brothers. And then the main event, which was Jericho and Omega. And Chris Jericho is just old, dude. I mean, he still got it, but he can't do the shit that he used to, you know?
Right. It wasn't as good as the first one that they had in Japan, but it was okay from the little bits that I saw.
Yeah, that's why I was watching YouTube videos, and he's like, I created a new move, this Judas move, where he does a spin around elbow thing to the head, and he did it, and I was like, oh, man, it's kind of like lackluster, like that kind of sucked. But yeah, that was like, he kept hyping it, and to be honest with you, I don't know if he did it or not, you know? And but those are the three matches from All or Nothing. I recommend it. It's better than the last WWE pay-per-views or whatever they call them now, special events. It's better than the Saudi Arabia one, real quick. If you saw that Goldberg Undertaker match, they didn't have that at All or Nothing.
Yeah, man, that was terrible.
Heard about that, yeah.
And those guys are like fucking older than Jericho and like...
Is Jericho not in WWE anymore?
Nah, dude, that's like the whole big thing. Him jumping, he always said that he was only going to wrestle in North America for WWE. And when he signed with this company, they made a big fucking deal about it. He did a podcast about his points why he did this. Like, I think he kind of blew it out of proportion. I don't know if you heard it, Danny. I know you listen to Jericho's podcast, right?
Yeah, I didn't hear the one where he explained why he signed. The last one that I heard of his was with Dean Ambrose, because he also signed on with AEW.
Yeah, and he came out at the end at the Jericho Omega match. But yeah, he went there and he talks about it at length in his podcast. And I mean, I have not mixed feelings. I really don't care, but Jericho, when you think of Jericho, when he was coming, I was like this young guy, athletic, did all these cool moves. Now you see him, he's not that guy. He's older. He's still in great shape for that age, but he's not as ripped as he used to be. And then when he does like the lion salt or some shit, you're like, oh man, I hope he don't fucking slip or like lands on his head, because he's not in like, I'm not tip top shape. I'm not knocking him. I'm great. He could do this stuff, but it's always like you cringe. Like, I hope nothing happens.
I mean, he looks like he's in good shape, but he is old, man. I mean, there's only so much your abs are going to do. You just don't have the explosiveness that you used to have when you were younger.
I always got explosives, especially in the bedroom. But, yeah, go watch it. I recommend it. It's up and coming. It's an alternative. It's going to be on TNT. So all you fucking millennial marks, you could kind of get some type of Monday Night War shit that we grew up in the 90s.
Right. It should be exciting. Any kind of competition to WWE is just going to make the product even better.
So real quick, in the last episode, I talk about buying shit from your people you work with. So y'all heard my story. And you know how what the guy reneged on my deal. Did you look it up yet, Danny? Did you Google search that word?
I did.
What is it? It's a business word, right? Because I went to some college, you know.
I didn't read the whole thing, but it's something to the effect of, you know, going back on your deal.
You have a handshake deal and then you don't honor it. You backed out of it, basically. But he, after all that nonsense, you know, we record, we do the episode. I'm trying to move on, and then he fucking the following week. So he sold the fridge, and the guy he bought it from, the guy that bought it from him, says he backed out of the deal or something. Yeah, because it was a wine fridge. And then he, this guy had the fucking balls to come and go, hey, man, you want to buy that fridge? Give me $10. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, man. Like, I don't want that stupid fucking fridge. Plus, my wife would kill me.
Oh, was she really upset about it, the whole deal?
She was not happy about it. She was like, okay, a deal's a deal. Maybe I'll post the text messages.
Jesus.
So, yeah, there you go. Don't, and, you know, again, if you have horror stories or an offer up or when you buy shit, send them to ffnquestions@gmail.com. We'd love to read them. And real quick, did you guys see any of the new Rambo trailer? I'm kind of pumped up for it. Have you guys checked it out?
Supposedly it's the last one he's going to do.
Nah, man, they're going to have his fucking, they're going to mutate him or something.
No, I haven't even heard of this, man.
What?
Rambo 5, Last Blood? Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, damn, dude.
It looks good, but I read somewhere that this is Stallone's definitely last one, just like Rocky was his last Rocky. So that the franchise might keep going, but it's going to go on without him.
So, yeah, the franchise, to get to this movie, they finally made it. It went through a lot of incarnations. But I liked it. The only thing I didn't like was I see Rambo killing a lot of Mexicans. He's going after the drug cartels. So check it out. Let us know what you guys think. I mean, did you see it? Did you see it or not, Danny?
Yeah, no, I saw it.
What do you think? You like him killing Mexicans?
I didn't really pay that close of attention who he was killing, but I liked the way the last Rambo ended, where it ended on his house and.
Oh, where, you know, he was killing Asians?
Well, not the killing part, but I'm telling you that where he got to his home and he's finally like just chilling and relaxing. And he's just like, all right, I'm done with all that. It's time to kick back in my little ranch and just live out the rest of my days.
And you didn't see it, right, Noel? Or yes?
No. But to me, like, Rambo has always been like the Punisher, but in his own right, you know, his own way. And so I don't really care who he kills. It's just usually bad people, right? So let's just see it one last time and enjoy it.
Well, I'm pumped for it. I'm hoping they stay somewhat to the last movie where he's just mowing down people. I really enjoyed that. And I don't care what type, who he kills, as long as he kills bad people, because, you know, we don't want you to think that Rambo's bigoted or anything like that. But speaking of bigotry, that's going to take us to our next article. So, I don't know, recently ABC decided to redo in front of a live audience. They did All in the Family and the Jeffersons, and they recast it to do a live episode. And in the article, they talk about how surprisingly well it had great ratings, but the theme of the episodes, where they deal with racism and bigotry and like rich people, poor people, you know, all these type of class of people, it still resonates today. But how is today's audience dealt with it? So, you know, you saw it, Danny. Do you feel like when people were laughing and you heard the jokes, it was kind of not awkward, but that's that character. But I didn't feel nobody go like, ooh, I just heard a lot of laughing. So I think because they know at that time that those is what those characters stood for. So they're just going with the flow, you know?
Right. This is something that I've been, kind of working up for a while that I've been hoping to talk with you guys about, just because, you know, it just brings up that thought. Is this something that can live in today's society? You know, a show like All in the Family. I used to watch it when I was a kid, and you know, it did have some really serious themes. You know, it had a rape scene. It had racism. It had, you know, gay, you know, rights issues. There was tons of like social miscarriages. There was tons of like heavy, really heavy issues being dealt with in All in the Family. And it was, I don't know why, man, but as a kid and I watched it, I liked it, even though half of the stuff, I didn't know what the hell it was about just because I was a kid.
Did you watch any of the reruns or at all, Noel? I mean, I don't know how much you know of the shows All in the Family and the Jeffersons.
Yeah, actually, I grew up liking it, man. Like, the stuff that my brothers watched, I also watched, which is something I'm pretty grateful for because, like, I got exposed to just all different kinds of music and shows, and All in the Family and Jeffersons was definitely on that list. It was a different kind of time for sure. It's like a time capsule watching those episodes compared to now. So it's interesting how people would interpret it in this day and age. But whenever I watched that show, I took it for what it was. You know, I didn't take it too seriously. But then again, there were serious topics. So, like, I took those topics seriously. But the humor part of it, I kind of it helped the show. It elevated it, you know. Because no matter what happened, they found a way to get through it.
Right. And I think one of the taking points of the show was that no matter what was happening, even though Archie would bust and make fun of and, you know, humiliate and be just a bigot, he would never really come on top in none of the episodes. Almost every episode, he would end up losing somehow. Or they would trick him somehow to make him think that he had won the situation, but in actuality, he came losing, and that's how most of the episodes ended up, you know, ending, kind of giving you that sensation or that feeling like, yeah, he got his just deserves, you know, for being a bigot.
Well, again, you know, something that's good withstands time. I mean, even if it's from 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, and like the article states, the storytelling of these old shows is rock solid. As long as you're at least somewhat familiar with what America cultural and social mourns looked like in the 70s. Now, with that being said, I don't know. I mean, when I grew up, I mean, there's always going to be racism, but Archie, I don't want to say he was bigoted. He's not racist. It's just that's what he knew around that how he grew up. That's what was going on. And I think he just found it easier to stick to his own kind. But overall in the shows, he helped out. He took in his daughter and her husband. He fed them. He gave them room and board. And they still gave him shit. I mean, think about that. And even though he didn't... they didn't agree morally, family-wise. He took care of his family. Now, he did have problems with his neighbors and all that other shit. But, I mean, it's kind of like a double standard almost how they keep saying he's bigoted. I mean, I think he was an all right guy. He just had he stereotyped people, and that was his only issue.
Well, to me, I think he was a bigot. It's different from being ignorant or being stupid. Being stupid is that, you know better, but you still do the dumb things. And being ignorant is just that you don't know any better. And to, like you mentioned, Andy, that's the lifestyle that he grew up in. His dad was probably the same way or even worse. So that is the culture that he was raised in. So to him, it is normal. But in the eyes of society, you know, taking a step back, it was definitely something that he was doing incorrectly or something wrong. You know, he was being ignorant into the situation.
Like, I read stuff saying he calls, I don't know what else to call him. I don't even know his real, his name in the show. I just know him as Meathead.
Right, Michael. People,
Michael, they're tweeting and stuff that they said Meathead, that's like racist. It had racist undertones. I'm like, Meathead to me means he's just a dumbass.
And right. It might mean something racist, but I took it the same way. It's just being a dumbass or an airhead.
But again, I mean, I think people going back to when they presented it now, when you watch the episode, this live, you know, where they had Woody Harrelson and Jamie Foxx and
Will Ferrell.
I mean, they went like in a time where people were fucking laughing and stuff. No, I didn't hear nobody say it's racist. We need to take all this shit off of TV. Like today, anything that's offensive, they want to take it, yank it off of TV or take down statues. But for at that moment when this aired, I mean, that's what somewhat was going on in this country. And right, people, I think it was just some nostalgic trip, and people were just like, let's just go with the flow. Let's see how Woody Harrelson could do Archie Bunker, this beloved TV character.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird choice. But
yeah, the article, they really shit on him. I think he was, you know, and he had TV experience. He was in Cheers, and he recorded in front of studio audiences. I think he was playing somewhat up to him and just trying to. He was copying a lot, and it didn't feel natural.
I liked all the characters, basically, myself. I didn't think Woody Harrelson was that bad, but the article does kind of bash him. But I thought Melissa Torme, I thought even Jamie Foxx, even though he flubbed the line, I thought he was good. I thought it was overall a really good nostalgia trip, and got me thinking a lot about the show, and I actually went back and watched a few of his old shows. And just to throw some quick stats at you guys, I guess the show was created by Norm Lear, and he created a bunch of shows, man. I wasn't aware that he created so many.
Yeah, he's a TV staple, man.
Right. But All in the Family, that creation, went through 9 seasons, man. And I'm not talking about just like seasons nowadays where they're like 10 episodes, where, you know, you would get like 90 episodes out of 9 seasons. No, man, it was 205 episodes. It ran from 1971 to 1979 and won like multiple awards everywhere. And then even after that, there was like tons of spinoffs, man. There was like 4 or 5 spinoffs off the show. Like we kind of talked about, Andy, Archie's Bunker's Place, 4 seasons, like where
diner, or a bar or something.
Yeah, he like runs a bar. But it's funny, man, since we were kind of digging into it, I kind of looked a little too much, and I found out that the original title of the show was Justice for All. That was the original pilot, was Justice for All in 1968. So Norm was shopping around even back then, and the character's name was Archie Justice. So the family's name was going to be Justice.
It's fucking corny, dude.
Right. And I found an old YouTube clip with the original pilot, and it's really weird, man. It's a different setting. So if you're familiar with the new settings of the show now, watching this pilot, man, it's totally a trip. And actually, that 1968 pilot did not get picked up, man. I guess people were, in the same way that you kind of mentioned, Andy, it was too racist for the time. And it was kind of like, yeah, you can't have a show like this on air. So he kind of retooled it a little bit and re-showed it again in 1969 under the new name, Those Were the Days. That was the retitle of the show. And he changed a few characters, changed a few lines. But it was still having issues. I guess people still were not really digging it until finally 1971. It was titled All in the Family, and finally got picked up. But it was one of those shows that I'll always remember as a kid. Something that kind of, you would see the blatant racism, and it would make you realize that, you know, don't be like this guy. You know, be a little more enlightened. But in the same token, in my perspective, I wouldn't want to be like Michael either. The show kind of showed me that don't be like this extreme and don't be like this extreme. You want to be somewhere in the middle, somewhere where you're kind of running that line in between. You don't want to be so much of an extreme onto one side or the other.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, you're if you stand back, he's a family man. He's taking care of his family. Now, going back to, do you feel Mr. Jefferson's a fucking racist after some of the comments? I mean, they did a Jefferson's thing. And did you see that episode in the thing where their neighbors is an interracial couple and they're like fucking arguing, you know, because she shouldn't be married to a white guy.
Right. I mean, I was never a huge Jefferson fan. I watched the show here and there sporadically. I think my brothers were more Jefferson fans. I was more of a Sanford and Son kind of guy myself. But watching the you know, the live episode that they redid, it was actually pretty good. It was pretty funny, but it had the same twist, you know. It had it where he was being racist to lower income people because he had finally moved up to the east side in a deluxe apartment in the sky. And, you know, he was being racist to people underneath him. So I think it kind of had the same sort of premise as All in the Family, except it had a black family instead of a white family.
Yeah, I always really liked how that it was part of the same universe. Like, they had crossovers. That was like the first time I think I ever saw crossovers in TV shows.
Right. That was kind of unique for sure.
As I'm saying, like, so is Mr. Jefferson, is he a bigot or he's just a rich asshole? I mean, you know, people are shitting on Archie for his fuck. He's still over there. And Mr. Jefferson, he's hiring two fucking maids and the wife's trying to, like, come on, you know, don't forget where we come from. He's like, man, fuck that. I moved on up. Like, I don't got to think about that shit no more. And Jamie Foxx, he did a pretty good job portraying that. And he's like, man, you know, and the struggle is they found all this wealth. They don't want to appear to be not sellouts, but, you know, she doesn't want to forget where she came from. And he's like, fuck that. It's all bad memories, man. I worked my ass off to get here. I'm going to fucking enjoy it.
Right, right. I do think that maybe back in the day he would not be labeled as a racist, but I think nowadays, if you really see it for what it is, he is a racist. But in the reverse side, you know, he's racist to white people because no matter who the character was, as long as they were white, you know, he didn't really care for them. So, you know, it was kind of the same character except in reverse. So yeah, man, I would label him today as being a bigot or a racist person, but back in the day, I think characters like that got more of a pass just because the blatant oppression that there was of black people in society back in the 70s.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the Jeffersons, like I said, Mr. Jefferson, he's just like, man, I see it as someone who bought into the American dream and he fucking did it. And other people are like, because he owns, I forgot, cleaning stores or some shit or laundries or something. And
dry cleaners, isn't it?
Yeah, dry cleaners. And right. He's fucking like, fuck yeah, I made it. So let's start showing off. And I don't want to say other people are holding him back. It's but like, he's like, let's embrace this. Let's, you know, let's fucking do it because we struggled and I want the good shit. And if you don't want to, you know, if you want a maid, let's get you a maid, which, you know, I'm talking about the episode that they recreated. And I don't see nothing wrong with that. And his kids are like, you know, his kid has a fucking woman in the room and shit. It's, you know, it was kind of, and that today it's more open. But back in the day, that was like a big fucking no-no, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right, right. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, moving on up and, you know, having a better life for yourself. But it was his perception of society that to me was the bad part. You know, he let the money not elevate his class internally. It more elevated his class in society as being upper class. But he wasn't a better person for it. You know, he was still kind of the asshole that didn't like white people just because they're white, you know, kind of labeling everybody as a white racist. So you know, he was going to hold that grudge against him. So
was he an asshole when he was poor?
I think so.
I think he was. Yeah.
Yeah, he was. He was at least from the few episodes that I would see him in All of the Family. Even though Archie always came out as the bigger asshole. So when you put both characters together, it was always Mr. Jefferson like protecting himself or kind of trying to get the one up on Archie because he was such a big asshole that it kind of gave him a pass because of Archie's, you know, how he treated him. But with the Jeffersons watching the episode by itself, there's no longer a white protagonist or a white guy trying to, you know, push his buttons. So now Mr. Jefferson just comes up like an asshole.
His neighbors, like, you know, who's played by Will Ferrell, I can't think of his name. He's just like so like liberal and like open and accepting. Right. And he's just like, man, you fucking dumb, bro. Like, and, you know, he's married to a black woman, and that this episode that they recreated kind of does into that. Like, don't you see he's white. He's like, one day he still sees you, you know, they're discussing about the N-word, and then he's like, oh, you know, and they go back and forth and they storm out of the house, and she looks, honey, like, are you mad? Cause his wife called him a honky. And then he's like, oh, you know, I'm sorry about that. It's like, it's okay. She's like, did you ever think about calling me that, you know, the N-word? And he goes, oh, yeah, I've done it before. And then he goes to explain, like, when we're mad, sometimes shit comes out that we regret saying, but it happens, like, you calling me honky, but I didn't say it, but it ran through my head. I wanted to call you that word. And I was just like, God damn, man, like, this is kind of fucking potent shit here, but they ended up kissing and then they go to their apartment and got wrapped up in a half hour. So I was just like, damn, man, that's like some deep shit right there, you know?
Right. I mean, he also does say something to the fact of it's not the words that come out of your mouth, but the actions that you live by.
Right.
I forgot how he worded it, but something to that effect that even though in the heat of the moment you might say something foolish, it's the actions that you carry yourself with that really is what's supposed to, you know, speak for your character.
I think watching both shows, what I saw throughout the seasons was that, yes, in the beginning, the characters were very flawed. They had issues with bigotry and, you know, discrimination, things like that. But I saw growth within both of them throughout the seasons. And there wasn't even an episode with Archie Bunker where he stood up for a black guy that was being picked on by his race.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, I think they're able to grow, able to evolve. And towards the end, I think they both were better than they were in the beginning.
No, yeah, there was definitely episodes like that.
At the end, they're just trying to, you know, you look at the big picture, they're raising their families. They all struggle. And like I said, you always want to be like, you know, stay within your own, even in today's open society, in the social justice warrior society that we live at. But overall, thinking when I saw the show, and I'm there fucking laughing. My wife's just like, eh. She's not really like laughing. She's just like, yeah, I know all these characters. But to me, it was fucking hilarious because it's 2019. They're bringing shows from the 70s, recreating, and I thought for sure people would bitch about it, but people were there laughing, and people were live tweeting, and they were making fun how Jamie Foxx flubbed some of his lines. And, you know, so, I mean, it had an impact back then and today. I mean, it's still good stories, but still, people weren't as offended as I thought they were. I mean, I didn't hear almost little to no people offended by this special that they had.
Right. I thought the whole Me Too thing, I thought this was going to be a huge problem. And like I mentioned early when we first started talking, I've been meaning to talk about this in particular. Is there anything that's out there that cannot be recreated nowadays just because of the way society is? And I always thought All in the Family was one of those. I'm like, there's no way they would redo an All of the Family style show because this society just wouldn't allow it. And it's funny to think, man, while I was doing the research, the last little tidbit here was that this was based on a show from England on the BBC in 1965. There was a TV show called Till Death Us Do Part was the name of the show, which is kind of weird. It's like not really natural, the sentence, but it had a very similar, well, because it's till death. You would think it would be till death do us part. But it's not, and I double checked because I wanted
King's
to make
English right there, man.
I wanted to make sure I wasn't writing it down wrong, but it's till death us do part, and it has almost the exact same setup. It's got a bald old guy that's pissed off at his family. It's got a lady that the husband's constantly yelling at, and then it's got a lazy son-in-law that doesn't want to work, and then the daughter, and it's got the same exact dynamic. And I guess Norm had bought the concept or bought something from this show, and that's where he started writing his own version in the All in the Family.
Like, shine your shoes, Governor.
Right. The other part that I thought was kind of cool, like I mentioned, I started watching a little bit of old All in the Family episodes, and there was one part that I thought was super funny, man. It was Archie arguing with Michael, you know, Meathead. And they were talking about socialism, and Michael was alluding to something, to the fact of the reason why people are pissed off nowadays is because of people like Archie who have things and don't want to give it away. They want to keep it. And so he said something like, what you got and how to keep it, Michael says, something like that. Like, it's about you, Archie, trying to keep everything and not give anything. Uh-huh. And then that's when Archie comes back and says something like, well, so will you, buddy, if you had anything, but you don't even have a pot to pee in. It's just like, so he's just like, you would be like me if you had something, but since you don't have shit, well, obviously you want to share everything because you don't have anything. So I just thought it was really funny how even back in the day they talk about socialism, even though that's a really something in the forefront now in society today as well.
And damn millennials. But like always, man, Archie was ahead of his time. And we've talked about, Danny, people who want you to share usually don't have shit to share. So that's why Archie says, man, like, well, what the fuck you got to share? You ain't got shit.
Right.
See, I gotta give up my hard working ass house and shit, so fuck all that noise.
You know, All in the Family, now that you guys mention it, like about the new stuff that's coming out, and if you could redo something like All in the Family, I'm kinda reminded of F is for Family. That's kinda similar.
Yeah, that's exactly the Bill Burr's show is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I do think that has a similar vein with the kind of that family dynamic that they're kind of at ends with each other, and they're kind of, you know, always arguing against each other. So I think it does definitely have that kind of dynamic where they're constantly arguing with each other. But hopefully you guys out there are not arguing with your fellow man. So we'll let you get back to your own lives and out of this podcast, because that is it. We are done for today. We'd like to thank you all for listening. Remember to follow Freeform Network on Facebook, at Twitter, on Freeform Network. Send in those questions and suggestions. Is there a TV show you think they would never be able to redo, or a movie maybe? Can they redo Citizen Kane, or will people be willing to sit through a movie about nothing? visit us on freeformnetwork.podbean.com. That's our website. You're going to see all our cool links for all our archive episodes. He's like, we got a lot of them in there, man. You really want to tune into some of our older original episodes and see the evolution that is Freeform Radio. But for Freeform Radio, my name is Daniel. I'd like to thank you all for listening. My other co-hosts today are Andy.
Archie's right. So I'll see you guys next week.
And Noel.
Thank you, everybody. See you next week.
And don't be like Archie. Grow, and grow like Jefferson as well. And be good people.
Make some money.
And don't be a meathead. Thanks, everybody.
That was cool, Dad.